The following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. What motivates a man to give his career to promote deeper public understanding of the value of human life, of motherhood and fatherhood, and to identify policies and practices that will protect life and serve both women's health and family well-being? This is the story of Chuck Donovan. We pause here, as we typically do at the beginning of our show, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio program. Well, dear friend, it's to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know that no matter how tough things might seem to be, you might even feel like, figuratively speaking, your back is against the wall. What to do, where to go, how to cope. There is always hope in Jesus who loves you so much, dear friend. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ reaches out to you. In your moment, in your struggle, in your pain, will you turn to him? Will you open your heart and receive him as your Savior and Lord? You know, that's our prayer. That's our hope in Jesus. Charles A. Chuck Donovan is president of the Charlotte Lozier Institute. He served as legislative director of the National Right to Life Committee more than 3 decades ago, worked as a writer for President Ronald Reagan, helped to lead the Family Research Council for nearly 2 decades, and most recently has been Senior Research Fellow in Religion and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation. Chuck earned a bachelor's degree in English at the University of Notre Dame. He's married to Meg. Chuck, welcome to our show.
Danny, it's a pleasure and an honor to be on your program. Thank you.
Take us back a bit, Chuck. Where did you grow up?
I was born in Louisville, Kentucky, longer ago than I care to mention, but spent my entirety of my childhood in Cincinnati, Ohio, with my family and my 9 brothers and sisters.
Any memories that quickly surface when you think about those days in Cincinnati with your family?
I think the most surpassing memory I have is growing up, as most Americans realized, in the decades and a half after World War II. My father was a veteran. He served with the OSS in England and France, but he was young. He didn't see combat. He was in the intelligence field. But like every other veteran of that conflict, when they came home, they founded families and created probably an incredibly dynamic economic engine. So most people remember at least the 50s and early 60s as a time of, I would say, suppressed economic growth. So I grew up in a very dynamic middle-class neighborhood. But soon after that came the Vietnam era, an era of assassinations of public figures who were held in high esteem, And it became a very rough decade between 63 and 73 when we had the Roe decision. I think the country lost the edge of its optimism and things became very tense. And that's something I remember keenly.
So vivid in the way that you've placed it historically. Who would you say, I know you mentioned your dad, who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, besides my father, who was an incredibly generous man, he strongly believed in family, in values. He struggled with his church life, I would say. I think he felt there was rapid changes coming along in the church, and he was doubtful. My mother, on the other hand, was deeply into the gospel, particularly into the writer I find the most challenging in all of the scripture, which is St. Paul, who had a way of putting things that made your mind really wrestle with his points. But my mother constantly quoted him to us. She was a writer in addition to raising her 10 children, and she pushed all of us to, I would say, excellence in whatever we did. So we were led to study, read to reflect on the gospel, and also led to write as much as we could. She entered me in a number of writing contests, and once she entered you in something, you wanted to win.
Well, you mentioned your father and church life, your mother,
yes,
as a writer, how she emphasized St. Paul. Your religious background, right, Chuck, what was that?
We were raised as it was a very extended Irish Catholic family. My mother's maiden name is Casey, which is pretty common in Ireland. And I would say on both sides, the Donovans and the Caseys were mostly South Central Irish. And they were equally cohesive when they came to the United States. My grandfather was born in the United States, but previous generation were all born in Ireland. So we were raised in the Catholic Church, and I still practice my Catholicism on a pretty regular basis. But I would say I think one of the greatest blessings of my life by far, and perhaps even the greatest blessing of working in a field like pro-life, is to see so many people, evangelicals, Catholics, Jewish leaders alike, coming together around the sanctity of human life. I've learned so much from my evangelical brethren, and I go well beyond St. Paul now because you need the whole of the gospel to figure out the right way in this very, very difficult world. And to be a follower of Jesus is to follow someone who, well, experienced all the pain and sorrow that we experience. Obviously, did not sin, but suffered the penalty of crucifixion for our sins. And how we have helped each other in these 50 years of the pro-life movement, people of various faiths, to carry on despite so little support in many ways from politics or science sometimes. It's really required that supernatural strength.
Chuck, thank you for explaining that the integration of your faith and the work that you're doing for the pro-life cause. Did you experience anything in your early life that predisposed you to the work you do today?
That is a question that I almost always answer the same way, and I have to say to you, that it occasionally feels inadequate. But the truth is, as an explanation, I mean, the truth is that I don't recall in all the time I was in school or going to church services or even family events, the Irish, as you know, loved to yammer about politics, and we did, but abortion wasn't in the center of the public mind. even when states started to liberalize their abortion law, and you probably know Hawaii was the first in 1970, it's not as if it was everyday conversation. So despite being in a socially conservative family, I don't think my parents talked about it much. What they did do, and I ended up being the third oldest of 10 children, I was around babies all the time as far as I can remember. And when you've got a father who traveled as my father did, he was on the road 4 or 5 days a week as a pharmaceutical salesman. We've got plenty of challenges and assignments from my mother to watch the little one. And so I always came at the life issue as an issue of, are you going to be extra tender to those smaller than you who are obviously dependent on you? And that was true of the babies, whether they were 2 months or 6 months or a year old. They needed a guardian. And eventually when the abortion issue came along, I just saw no difference between a baby 2 months after birth and a baby 2 months before. And we all had the credo traveling on the Cincinnati bus transit system. My mother only had to mention it once. If you saw a woman with child standing on that bus as it lurched around street corners, you better be out of your seat immediately and offer it to her. We just paid extra respect to any mother with child.
You're listening to Chuck Donovan. Chuck Donovan is the president of the Charlotte Lozier Institute. When we come back, you'll hear more from Chuck. He took us back a bit, a little bit down memory lane, some historic background. He grew up in the 50s and 60s. He pointed out the 60s tumultuous time, the decade between 63 and 73. Assassinations, political leaders, well-known people, heartbreaking moments in society here in America, the Vietnam War, 63, Roe, 73. When we come back, you're going to hear more from Charles A. Chuck Donovan of the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
All right, I want
guest.
You to get this this website down, LozierInstitute.org. L-O-Z-I-E-R. Institute.org stands for Charlotte Lozier Institute. Chuck Donovan is the president of the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Go ahead and check out that website with many resources, many scholars, experts, proponents, speakers, to provide you with necessary and vital information at this critical time. We are indeed living in a time where the tides are moving. Some might say, Danny, you haven't gone far enough. The tides are changing. And as the tides are changing, there are more responsibilities that come with that. There are more things to look ahead at. There are surprising things, perhaps, that need to be discussed. Chuck Donovan has played key roles in the development of public policy regarding public financing of abortion, compassionate alternatives to abortion, the child tax credit, marriage penalty relief, and rights of conscience. Chuck Donovan is with us. Chuck, share with us more. What is the Charlotte Lozier Institute?
Danny, it's not all that complicated a question, but it's actually an amazing story. We founded the Institute in 2011. And I have to say, one of the reasons it came to be was a change in the pro-life movement. When I began in pro-life, we were fixed on changing the Roe versus Wade decision, and we felt we had a decade or so in which to get it reversed by the court or by Congress. And when that became obviously impossible to do in the short run, then we reverted to engaging at the level of expertise. So we went forward in 2011 and identified scholars who were experts in medicine, in statistics, sociology, and law, so that we could make much stronger arguments in the public square than we initially believed would be necessary. I think we felt the public was with us back in 73, and I think it was. But as time passed and abortion became embedded in many ways in the public policy of at least major states, the battle shifted. So the Lozier Institute was named after one of the founding mothers of feminism. Her name is Charlotte Denman Lozier, and she was a physician. And among her other public roles in life, she was the vice president of the National Association of Working Women. At the time she was in medicine, mid-19th century, there were few women, and the expectation was not that women would be in the workplace. She had three children, but she carried forward an incredible career as well.
How is the Lozier Institute related, Chuck, to the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America?
Very good question. The Susan B. Anthony connection, of course, through the name, since they were feminists and companions, Susan B. Anthony's magazine, The Revolution, published information about Charlotte Denman Lozier. But we are basically the education and research arm of Susan B. Anthony. We are non-political. We aim to produce studies that can appear in peer-reviewed journals, where we regularly do. We write for the major newspapers of the country who have been open to our publications. We do amicus briefs and expert testimony. And we're looking for the very best people we can get. Our 70 associate scholars are just a remarkable group, and you can see their names on our website at lozierinstitute.org.
Chuck, do you remember where you were in 1973 when the Roe v. Wade decision was made?
Well, I remember very precisely because I was a major in chemistry and English at Notre Dame, and I had just a brilliant art teacher named Robert Leder, and I was sitting in his seminar class, 200 students, and I remember sitting in the front row. I had run through the student dining hall and picked up a copy of the Chicago Tribune, And I opened it, and there across the top, it said two things. One, that Lyndon Baines Johnson had passed away. And then just below that, that the Supreme Court had struck down all of the nation's pro-life laws across the country, all 50 states, whether they were liberal, moderate, or, as most of them were, very conservative. So I was there, and I didn't pay much attention to that art class. I kept reading the Tribune. It must have driven the professor a little to distraction.
Let's fast forward, Chuck. Where were you when you heard the news of the SCOTUS decision overturning Roe?
Well, Danny, I was in my home office. We had been warned for weeks that it could be, you know, any one of the days the court was going to release its opinions. There is a well-known website called SCOTUS Blog that immediately announces decisions of the court, and every day decisions were expected. I'd log in at 9:45, and we'd just sit and wait. And, of course, for a month and a half after the leaked opinion from Justice Alito, we were disappointed morning after morning. But on Friday, June 24th, which turned out to be the day before my birthday, so I'm never going to have a better birthday present. But on that day, it was the second opinion released. And frankly, though we at that point began to expect it was coming, I still couldn't believe my ears.
What did you feel?
Danny, that's complicated because, I've been fighting in the pro-life fight in various ways, for pregnancy centers, for all the legislation you mentioned, for support measures for mothers, lobbied in the Congress, worked for President Reagan for 8 years as the writer. So I'd seen the issue at almost every level, except not an attorney, so I've not argued in court. I think, there was some exhilaration. If you know American history, how often are decisions that are so gravely wrong, even the gravely wrong ones, how often are they reversed and how quickly does it happen? There are a handful of examples. There's the Dred Scott ruling, which, of course, was largely reversed by national conflict. There's the Plessy decision on segregation. It took 56 years to reverse. It's just, no matter how bad a ruling might be, it's very, very difficult to get the critical mass of social leaders, policy leaders, and lawyers to do that reversal. So there was that. But I think there also was a sense of, I won't say exhaustion, but a need to take a deep breath, because now the real work begins. Nothing is truly secure in the sense that, we're governed by providence. We're in God's hands. He gives us opportunities, but he also, when his people turn away from him, we have a good chance of failure. So I think I felt just a great responsibility now to speak to the need to support mothers and babies in ways that many more Americans can embrace. And we have a ways to go.
Let me press a little further on that, since you brought us
sure.
there. In what ways, Chuck, do you foresee your role in view of the rest of our roles, your role changing after the recent SCOTUS ruling?
Well, I've gotten to the stage of my life, Danny, where I'm doing some reflection pieces. I just wrote one on how this ruling is, even though he did not accomplish it as president, President Reagan, I have no doubt, is singularly rejoicing in what has happened here. He viewed it as the great unfinished goal of his presidency. I will be reflecting on that. But the other thing I think most of my time will be spent on are addressing some really critical needs. When Roe came down, I think many people in our society thought, well, only the wanted child will now be born. Mothers will be able to escape the hardships of family raising and all of that if we have abortion. And as I think we've amply demonstrated through American history in the last half century, our country has actually lost ground in caring for mothers and babies. Now, There are almost 3,000 pregnancy help centers. I'm on the board of Heartbeat International, which maintains and programs for most of those centers. We need to build more of them. We need to restore the church. We have a program called Her Plan, which aims to activate churches to realize how much more they can do to be centers of hope for women. And I'll be working primarily on that through the remainder of my career. We have to make America operationally pro-life, not just aspirationally pro-life. And we've made some progress in the last 50 years, but we also have gotten too used to the idea that there's a brutal and quick way to resolve issues with marriage and family, and it's just not so. We've got to regenerate our strength and our spirit to get these things done.
Chuck, let's talk more about that. Let's go a little further on it. When you mention operational and not just aspirational, there seems to feel like there's a lot of substance beneath that. Perhaps before June 24th, the public may not have given much thought of it. When I know you have, and others have, and many leaders like yourselves have for decades, dreaming, planning, thinking, and then as things have moved forward as they have, you are now operationalizing things. But we need instructions. We need guidance. We need encouragement. We need direction. You're listening to Chuck Donovan. Chuck is the president of the Charlotte Logier Institute. When we come back, you'll hear more from him. What does he foresee? What challenges? What do we have to look forward to? What challenges lie ahead? And Dr. John and Dr. Barbara Wilkie, who were they? Who were they to Chuck Donovan? Chuck Donovan is the author or co-author of books and monographs on family topics. You're going to hear more from him when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Logierinstitute.org. You'll find out more about Chuck Donovan, who's the president there. His appearances on national radio and television include CNN's Inside Politics and ABC's Nightline, as well as programs on Fox, BBC, NPR, EWTN, and CBN. Chuck, what do pro-life supporters have to look forward to?
Well, Danny, I think we are going through a period of turbulence, and that makes sense as a, if you view it as a the reversal of Roe v. Wade as being something of a storm front. I think that's what's happened. Many people, myself included, weren't sure it was going to happen, but we've been working toward it, thinking about it. But I think that many people in our society are forced to confront the issue for the first time. And then for those who are activists on the side of championing abortion, I think there's anger, frustration. So what we're seeing, sadly, are assaults on churches across the country, three just in the last couple of days in the Washington, D.C. area, had fire and vandalism. We've had 30 to 40 pregnancy health centers. But I don't think, I think that is basically the storm front of this. I think once we get back to, as we should have been all along, contending over what is best for mothers and babies, what's the best way to inspire men to meet their responsibilities. Once we start contending with that and some of the caricatures of pro-life people is not caring for babies after birth, when those things are passed by, when states are doing what states like Texas are doing and stepping up in a major way with new programs and services, including the private sector, I think we'll see this issue begin to settle down. I think we can become more united on the need to reduce abortion and to build the family up as the primary protector of these babies.
Have you reflected a bit on the decades leading to 1973, the Roe v. Wade decision, and the cultural underpinnings that were policy-wise, structurally put in place or worked toward that led to that, and then from then to now, some of the changes that you may have observed?
You know, Stanley, I think I co-wrote a book called Blessed Are the Barren, The Social Policy of Planned Parenthood with Robert Marshall, who was at the time a Virginia state delegate. And we delved into the history of the 20th century. And if you take a detailed look at it, what you see is that the early impetus for abortion was centered around ideas of eugenics, of whether abortion offered a policy or a prospect of eliminating poverty, family disruption, and offered some chance to protect women's health for women who would have successive pregnancies and have 9 or 10 and risk their health medically. And also, pardon me, in the latter part of the 20th century, what we saw that was new was the issue of population. I did a declaration that has been signed by 30 pro-life leaders on the 50th anniversary of the 1972 report of the Rockefeller Commission on Population Growth in the American Future. And that was a document commissioned by the Congress and by President Nixon. And it called for the elaboration of legal abortion across the country. This was about 10 months before Roe versus Wade. And the basic argument was that the world was becoming overcrowded and would experience famine and military conflict if government didn't act to reduce the population of the country and of the world. And I would say, Danny, we still see that argument. It's made by Bill Gates, by Warren Buffett, by others who are leaders on the world economic stage. But what I've seen in contrast to that is an absolute explosion in medical excellence and in care for the youngest of babies. We are now able to do in in utero surgery on babies at 15 weeks for a variety of conditions. We now know more about those children than we've ever known before, and it's a dramatic improvement in what we can do to protect the lives of these kids than anything we've seen before. So I think it's a very optimistic time to be alive, but I think the temptation of technology is to turn it into manipulation and control. But anyway, I think if we look around us, we see more in the way of solutions to human problems than we do to challenges. But the core challenge is whether we value all human life equally. And if we're determined to protect it and not sacrifice some human lives in order to benefit others, I think that's the core challenge to the sanctity of life in our world today. And it encompasses more than abortion. It includes alteration of the human genome, eugenics, assisted suicide, and other practices.
Does Logier address those other areas that you discussed just a second ago?
We address most particularly in the area of genetics, because just take, for example, in the United States, there's something like a million human embryos that are kept in frozen storage because of our IVF practices. We have uniquely liberal practices in Germany. I think the last count was where they have policies where they do not create more embryos than they intend to implant in the near future. I think they have something like 72 frozen embryos in the entire country, and Germany has been historically actually much more caring and solicitous of the unborn than the United States. So it is a big problem here. We've got a CRISPR technology, which we do comment on at Logier, which has legitimate potential uses for treating genetic conditions, but also raises profound questions about altering the human genome and changing future generations in ways that whatever scientists may say, they don't quite understand what the ramifications will be, but those changes would be permanent. We also have stem cell research, and we have a website called stemcellresearch.org where you can find extensive information on all the positive things happening with stem cell therapies. But also learn about the proposals that are there to destroy human embryos in order to obtain them. So these are areas where there is a massive impact on human life, but it's happening in the background, Danny. And yes, we are very concerned about it.
You're listening to Chuck Donovan. Chuck is the president of the Charlotte Logier Institute. You can find out more about the organization, the resources they provide, the scholarship, the research they are doing and have done and continue to do, LogierInstitute.org. Chuck, when we come back, let's talk. In fact, you know, let's get started on it right now. Dr. Sure. John and Barbara Wilkie, who are they, and what do they mean to you?
Well, that is a perfect question, because that couple who passed away in the past decade were the prime educators in pro-life in the United States and in much of the world, with their various editions of a book called The Handbook on Abortion. And I got to know them in 1971 through one of those things, that's a God thing. While I was at the University of Notre Dame, I was introduced to one of their two daughters who went to Notre Dame. Teresa Wilkie was an undergraduate student there, and when I met her at a Notre Dame football game, we got to know each other, and she told me that her parents were very much interested in writing about the abortion issue, about which I knew nothing. And since she was from Cincinnati, Ohio, like me, I went over to visit and got very much involved in their work, and was a volunteer for them as they wrote this book, The Handbook on Abortion. There were millions of copies distributed, but Danny, in the 1970s, as I said earlier, people just didn't talk about abortion. It's not that it was common, but it was beginning to become common overseas, and the Wookiees were able to obtain pictures, which were then just extremely unusual, of what abortion entailed. Some cases, there would be pictures of illegal activity, but they did obtain photos smuggled out of Canada and were able to incorporate that in their book and to alert people to the fact that this vast change in medicine was coming. So they traveled the world. They came to Notre Dame and inspired the founding of a student pro-life group. And that was the formal beginning of my time in the Right to Life movement.
Chuck, when we come back, let's follow along with Dr. John and Barbara Wilkie as you describe the pictures, as you describe what they brought back, to provide exposure to what was actually happening. There seems, and I suppose I could be wrong, but a cloud that permeates within people's minds about the very act of abortion, the brutality of it, and it's a sensitive subject. But I'd like to talk a little bit more about that because of the gravity and the brutality of it, and who better than Chuck Logier? I think I need to just pass it to you and let you articulate, as you've done for many decades as a champion in the pro-life movement. You're listening to Chuck Donovan. His articles and commentaries, both under his own name and those of public figures, have been published in newspapers such as the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and more. You'll hear more from Chuck in our final segment when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, you may have heard the word desensitization. A big word just essentially means that we don't really realize what's going on, what's actually taking place. This can be applied in many facets of life and society. Today, we're talking to Chuck Donovan, president of the Logier Institute, a pro-life champion, pro-life organization, but research, scholarly research and writing, the Logier Institute. You can find out more at logierinstitute.org. Chuck, before our break, we were talking about Dr. John and Dr. Barbara Wilkie as pioneers in the pro-life movement. You did mention before our break about some photos from Canada of abortions. Take us back. How important were they, and how important or vital is our knowing and conveying what goes on in the process?
Well, Danny, I think being frank and realistic about what abortion entails isn't something human beings automatically would do. You know, I have some obstetrical texts from back in that era because we're often challenged about, well, what did they say? There's doubts about when human life begins. Basically, the presumption has always been in these textbooks that life begins at conception. It was the mandate of the Hippocratic Oath dating from 400 to 500 BC and not a religious text, except to the extent the Stoics had some theological view. But basically, that abortion was contrary to the mission of a medical person whose goal is to heal. Well, abortion doesn't heal anything. If a woman is with child, unless she has some collateral illness, she's not sick. She is bearing offspring. And that life is not, you know, materially independent of her, but it is a distinct and different human life with its own DNA, its own blood type, its own characteristics. And as we trace through pregnancy, just marvelous things happen. But how much the average person knew about that in 1970 is, I would say, very little. So when the Wilkies came across a Canadian doctor who was able to smuggle pictures out of a Canadian teaching hospital, and I saw those when they came into the Wilkies, it was just extraordinary and startling. It was a picture of three or four babies, fully recognizable babies, deposited in a wastebasket awaiting disposal. And that is what abortion has always been. It's not therapy. It's not done by organizations that are otherwise treating women for medical conditions. They are actually committing a brutal act that I think people naturally know but have been accustomed to because, and I think it's partly because we've become accustomed to violence at all levels of society, and we tend to think of it as inevitable. But the Wilkie's education changed the ability of millions of people to ever see abortion as anything other than a brutal and destructive act. And on that ground alone, I think it needs to be opposed.
Now, Chuck, as we begin to wrap up our time together today, I do want to thank you for your time, your expertise. What would you say to someone today who has had an abortion and is, especially now with so much in the headlines, tides shifting with the recent Friday, June 24th decision from the Supreme Court. But someone who has gone through it, it might have been recent, it might have been a while ago, maybe it may have been a long time ago, but things are resurfacing within her. What would you say to this dear woman?
Well, I think you used the right word there, that she is dear. And her value is measured in eternal terms. It's not limited. And thank God, you know, none of us is defined by the most difficult moments in our lives. The other thing, of course, is that abortion, sadly, has been a very common thing in the United States. Perhaps one in four women have gone through it. Fewer would have gone through it if men had stepped up more than we have, Danny. And I think we have to realize what the toll of abortion has been on men, too. When I see data on the marriage rate declining and young men being adrift and suicide and drug use climbing, I think what we're seeing is a loss of the ability of people in our society to realize how we're made and what we're made for, and that we can accomplish things greater than ourselves and that we can overcome challenges. I'd also say the pregnancy movement, when I began in pro-life 50 years ago, was best at providing bottles and formula and cribs and the like, and they're still good at that. But today's pregnancy center movement, thousands of institutions have added medical availability, they've added counseling. Post-abortion work is expanding rapidly. We're recognizing that women have miscarriages, also have a psychologically profound event. And there are resources out there and incredible people, and you're going to find people who have been through it too, or close to someone who's been through an abortion, and you'll get loving care and support if you find that you can come forward. And I would urge anyone who's troubled by this to come forward, and of course urge the church to be first and foremost in grace and forgiveness and channeling the love of Christ to people who've seen a time where they didn't feel that presence.
Those are tender words that come with a grace and loving heft to it that I think is timely and hopeful. Chuck, we do something here on our program where we typically say a prayer. We like to pray for our listeners. God knows them. God knows where they are, what they're going through. And even as we've talked about this very, some might even say indescribable time in the lives of dear women, dear families. Chuck Donovan, would you be willing to say a prayer for these dear listeners at this time?
Yeah, Danny, I would be honored to.
Please.
Dear God, you are the maker of each and every one of us. And we have the confidence from you and from your followers down through the centuries that we are made in your image and likeness. And your image and likeness can never be erased from the human heart or from our destiny to be rejoined with you in time. We know that you have borne all of our sorrows and our sins. You washed them away on the cross. You took them and destroyed them forever and offered us a way of truth and life. And we pray now for anyone listening to this program who has been through sorrow, as we all have, to turn your face to the Lord, who will never turn his face away from you and is even with you ever more strongly in your darkest hours. We know that sorrow endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning, and that you rose from the dead in the morning, and that we all have a morning before us where we will feel your embrace again, and our nation, through all its difficulties, will have a hope again in the God who made us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Chuck Donovan, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Danny.
Timely and tender words from Chuck Donovan, LozierInstitute.org. Dear friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, we believe this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation set up for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your support, to make a donation, to pray on our behalf, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Donate. Galatians 1:15, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Chuck Donovan, LozierInstitute.org. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, web designer Arlen Nagata, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.